Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, turn it fucking down.
We can grow. We can develop.
As we know that heaven is not a place, and happiness lives in the heart. Long as the world keeps turning, our duty is to keep on learning. You heard?
Keep on learning. It's soaking up, gang. We gon' make mistakes. We gon' go through some things. Keep on growing. Keep on soaking up, gang. If something ain't working, don't be afraid to change.
Nobody know it all. As soon as you think you do, that's when you fall. We got to do more to survive. We must evolve. Things change. Just when you think you've seen it all, we trip, we stumble, but we get back in stride. Each day, all the way, one step at a time. Don't wanna let my ego and pride make me blind. The elders say, when you stop growing, that's when you die. The one who gets the knowledge is the one who asks why. Through the course of life, you gon' taste some humble pie. But I love it. It makes me appreciate the things that I take for granted. Gaining insight and understanding, each one teach one. We got to pass it on. Keep doing the knowledge, building and adding on. With faith in the assumption that nobody knows everything, but everybody knows
keep
something.
Keep on learning. It's soaking up, gang. We gon' make mistakes. We gon' go through some things. Keep on growing. Keep on soaking up, gang. If something ain't working, don't afraid to change.
Yo, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. And if you don't know, there's more you can know, then you won't grow. What you don't know can hurt you. Discipline is a virtue. Gotta ask the right questions, or else you go in the cycles and cyphers and spirals. Information is viral, it's infectious, it's contagious. And how you going through stages like the night, you don't believe that. No, we didn't do that. Then reality set in, there's no disputing the facts. Yo, I'm sorry if I woke you up, but when I open up, it's like I'm smoking, but I'm high off the people. Watch me soak it up. Huey said the best education is observation and participation. Study how the people be relating. Different points of views turn bad news to good news. See, it's kinda like some shoes, cause it got to make you move. Treat it like organic food, make it something you can chew. Information you can use, make it something you can do.
Keep on learning. It's soaking up, gang. We gon' make mistakes. We gon' go through some things. Keep on growing. Keep on soaking up, gang. If something ain't working, don't be afraid to change.
Hey man, it's okay to say you don't know. When you let go of your ego, you're free from all illusion. Can't make moves in confusion. Don't look for conflict, man. Always look for the solution. My pop said humility is a sign of wisdom. But to really soak it in, now that's a different kind of listening. See, man sharpen man. And every day is another lesson. And it's not failure when you learn, man. It's a blessing. And as the Buddha says, nothing lasts forever. We gotta manage our expectations. The less we pray, the less we suffer. In this way, we awaken. Right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right focus. Keep soaking. Soak it up.
Keep on learning. Soaking up, gang. We gon' make mistakes. We gon' go through some things. Keep on growing. Keep on soaking up, gang. If something ain't working, don't be afraid to change.
on my non-rules. Time to make way. Niggas get crazy, paid and hating bitches for the games they play. So nigga, rule quick, we better be quicker than the next motherfucker on the trigger. Cause I'm static, starting to be a fucking habit. Gotta keep my automatic or get my ass kicked when I'm trapping. Kinda rough, man, I drop a bucket, little thug life, nigga screaming, fuck it. I love to throw my middle finger to the police. And no bucks, no justice, no peace. I'm smoking blunt till I pass out. Yeah, nigga, getting ass out. Rolling in my nigga's glass out. Driving fast, talking to bitches, whipping cash out. I'm with my niggas, I'm fucking suckers. I'm busting buses, smoking chronic, motherfuckers causing ruckus. It's the last of the drink, pull over. Can't hear damn thing sober. High till I die, low till they smoke me. The shit don't stop till my casket drop. I'm high till I die, low till they smoke me. The shit don't stop till my casket drop. I'm high till I die, low till they smoke me. The shit don't stop till my casket drop. I'm high till I die, low till they smoke me. The shit don't stop, the shit don't stop. Lord help me, save me. Mama keep praying for a young motherfucker trying to duck an early grave in a city where you can't tell a face from a snake. Enemies are ponies, friends from your homies. Around the corner there's another nigga waiting to jack. He don't know I got a clock till his ass gets shot. Like a motherfucking thug disease, craving beef like they motherfucking drugs to me. Hey, what's up with bitches trying to screw me? Do me cause I did a movie, throw the pussy to me. But before they never knew me, rather God or let them blame me for a buster. And with my clock, I'm a plotting ass rotten motherfucker. Don't let that movie fool ya. Let me fool ya screaming thug life, nigga, when I do ya. It's the last of the track, pull over. Can't hear damn thing sober. Cause I'm high till I die, low till they smoke me. The shit don't stop till my casket drop. I'm high till I die, low till they smoke me. The shit don't stop till my casket drop. I'm high till I die, low till they smoke me. The shit don't stop till my casket drop. I'm high till I die, low till they smoke me. The shit don't stop.
G, and we are definitely back in the building. Flossy Jeezy in the house. You know what I'm saying? Flossy Jeezy Show Worldwide. Here we go again. It's the Black Love Series. Tonight, it's Hollywood's Sphere of True Black History. I don't understand it. I know you don't understand it, but tonight, we're going to try to break it down just a little bit, see if we can all find. Tonight's topics are, why is it that the only roles that get serious consideration relegated to servant roles? Also, what is Hollywood's fixation with slave and butler movies? And why is it that the only roles that get Oscar nominations are these roles? Is it a hidden message such as a yearning or wishing that these good old days will return? I don't know, but tonight we're going to try to analyze it and find out. Also, with all this African history that truly exists, why is it that the focus is never on these roles? Okay, why is Hollywood only interested in black shows and with our sitcoms and buffooneries and never on serious, regular black action things or serious subject matter? And why were all these stereotypes, right, like the N-word and this new black disrespect fuckery so prevalent? We're going to find out and at least get some opinions on the subject. My first caller in the building is my main man, Juan, from the ATL. Juan, what's going down tonight?
Man, what's going on with you tonight, man? How you been?
Man, you already know, man, trying to get it in, trying to, you know, get it figured out, trying to, you know what I'm saying, separate the good stuff from the junk, you know what I mean? So that's how we're going to get it in and try to figure it all out, get it all solved in the end. But you know how it is. It takes a little time, but, you know, we in there like swimwear, so we're going to show them how to get it done. Hold on, we got another caller on deck. Let's see here.
All right.
Looks like we got my main man, Raw Hot. It's been a while. What's going on with him? What's going on with you tonight, man?
What's up?
What's up?
Man, what's good with you, man? Flossy G Show in the house. What's good with
man,
y'all, man?
You know how it already goes down, man. I'm just trying to get it in as best I can, man. You know what I'm saying? Trying to do what a brother should, could, and would. You know how it goes down. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get my man, the sugar man, you know what I'm saying, to come on in here with us and stuff. I'm going to see who this other caller is, and it's one of those exotic numbers. Looks like we got it. It looks like we got old. Let me see here. Wait for the distance. Here we go. 111, you're on deck. Who are we speaking to tonight? Okay, that's cool. If you're like 111, if you just want to listen, it's cool. You're on deck and you're in here with us, and we're going to roll with the flavor. You know what I'm saying? We're going to roll with it. So, anyway, tonight, man, you know, I've just been watching a lot of stuff that's been going on lately, and I've been watching how, you know, this whole, you know, reckless-ass behavior has been going down. So far as things have been going Hollywood and going with us as actors and everything. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know what I'm saying, what's going on with these movies and why is Hollywood so afraid, man, to give us serious roles and talk to us? I'm watching all these award shows going by, you know what I'm saying, I'm watching all these nominations, and we don't seem to get the serious look at what's going down. So I guess the first question is, and I'll repeat it again, you know what I'm saying, what is it? And why is it that the only roles that get serious subject matter, those that pertain to, you know, us being slaves and servants and stuff? Why do you think that is, Raw? Go ahead and start it on out.
Man, because to a lot of people, man, that's our history. I mean, you know, it is our history, but, you know, as far as Hollywood concerned, it should be recognized as our only history. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we don't own anything in Hollywood. You know, they don't let us in there. And this is, and it's pretty much a slap to the face because it lets us know that if we want to be a part of Hollywood, that's our job, you know? We're either playing the slave role, you know, playing the butler role, you know what I mean? And that's it. That's what it is. You know, there are other roles out there, and some folks have made a breakthrough. Biggest breakthrough that was ever made in Hollywood history concerning a black man was the homie Danny Glover. And Lethal Weapon. You know, they did not want, that was the first black-white, you know, action movie comedy mix where, you know what I'm saying, they had a black and a white guy playing roles together. And nobody really knows that. Like, they fought that. They fought not to have him play that role. There was, I think it was the casting director is the one who said, this is how this movie's going to work. And that was actually a white lady, I think a white Jewish lady, who got him that role. And, you know, and there's been a few breakthroughs here and there, you know what I mean? But, I mean, like you're saying, you know, you can tell that there's one place that they just want to keep us. You know, and it's a weird situation because, you know, I don't mind learning about my black history, even with it being slavery.
Right.
But you're right. You know, before we were slaves, we were kings, and
absolutely.
I don't think that movie's ever going to come out anytime soon.
You know, and I think you could frame it in the bracket of the fear factor too, because you know it's a with us we hold a gun, all of a sudden we're a criminal, we're a drug dealer, or something to be feared. But Clint Eastwood can turn around and murder 30 people in one cowboy movie, and somehow he's a hero. I mean, that's a typical, stereotypical kind of thing to see that goes on. Juan, what do you think about this subject, man? What do you think the reason is, man, that the only time that blacks get roles of any kind are when they're serving subservient roles, and it's almost as if they're afraid to give us serious subject matter because it's almost like they have some kind of comfort zone in giving us those kind of roles. What do you think about that?
But see, I hate to play devil's advocate, but
come on with it.
If you think about it, though, it's not that's not necessarily the case, because there's plenty of movies that I can name where African Americans were not slaves in the movie. They were actually predominantly one of the main characters. Mr. Deeds is one of them, because Tyler Perry actually is the type of producer that he likes to motivate people in the black in the African American community by empowering them. He doesn't do any negative movies, because every movie that you see, most of his cast is African American, and the majority of the main characters are African American. You can count Good Deed, Daddy's Little Girl, Madea. Even the character Madea, it's not to say it's comical, but sometimes serious. That character itself. Then you also have, on top of that, you have the haves and the have-nots. Those are predominantly African American cast on that show. Then you also have Meet the Browns. You have,
before you go there with Meet the Browns and some of those, I'm gonna want to save that for a little bit later on, because I got something on that, because, you know, a lot of folks, black folks out there, think that a lot of that stuff is, you know, some of those sitcoms and stuff, there's a lot of buffoonery and stuff like that, and this is what I'm saying. I understand the Tyler Perry theory. My wife loves his movies. Some of the subject matter he hits on some of his movies, I like some of the content, especially because there's a lot of black love in those, and I appreciate Tyler Perry doing that. But let's just put that in a percentage box. Okay, we're talking about maybe 10, 15, 20% of what Hollywood is, basically, is Tyler Perry. But I'm talking about the greater broad spectrum of all the large movies. Tyler Perry's paper has began to catch up, but I'm talking about, you know, your MGMs. I'm talking about some of your larger studios that are out there, the more established ones that have been around, you know, for as long as you and I and probably our parents have been around. What is this thing where the only roles that we can actually play is either comical or some kind of something like that? Because, I mean, I understand what you're saying with the Tyler Perry. I don't want to interrupt you or hold on to the mic too long, but you understand where I'm kind of going with it about the serious subject matter stuff. Go ahead.
And then you also, I mean, not only, okay, so let's take it away from the Tyler Perry aspect. You have Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, these people, grown-ups one, two, and possibly a third one. You have Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious is actually no negative, because it's all based off of one cast. It's all based off of one cast. Notice they've used the same cast over and over again, where not only Ludacris has been part of the main cast members, Tyrese Gibson has also been one of the main characters. If you want to go ahead and continue on, yes, there are certain companies. I'm not saying all companies, though.
I would
beg to speculate that it's not all the major production companies, because Fast and Furious is produced by one of the biggest companies, and then you have matter of fact, Meet the Peoples. Meet the Peoples was a movie where the majority of the cast was African American, the lead character was African American, and it had nothing to do with slavery. It had nothing to do with any of them being the part of the help. You have Chris Tucker, his Rush Hour sequel, the Rush Hour sequel that he was part of, he played no portion of the help in that movie. Now, granted, has more African-American movies come out where the character, some of the characters that are African American in the movie do play the help, such as the Django, which I'd argue that in the Django, he both was the main character. Yes, he was a slave, but he freed himself, and it was actually a focus on him overcoming his obstacles to become, to move up in the world, or to become a better him.
Okay, now Rawhide, you're hearing this, Rawhide. What are your thoughts on something?
He's
pretty clear.
Okay, Tyler Perry, for one, yes, he has made some really strong black movies, but there's a few movies that he's lost me on as well. And it's, I can't remember the name. It was like the Color of a Black Woman or something like that or whatever, where all the black men in it were evil. You're talking about Fast and Furious with Tyrese and Luda, where they're playing car thieves, and the rest of the ones that, yeah, they are, and the rest of the ones that you mentioned were comical roles. Rush Hour, comical, you know. Meet the Peoples or Peoples. Peoples was actually a really funny movie. I liked it too. But still comical roles. So this is only bringing it up because this is what Flossie mentioned when the show first started, is that it's only comical roles or we're playing the stereotype. So I guess my question goes back to you, Flossie, on what roles do you want to see black people in?
Well, you know, there's a lot of roles that we have, like a few and far in between. Your Malcolm X flicks, your Lumumbas, you know, your Charles Drew, brother that created the blood plasma, and then died on the hospital steps of the place that he donated the first blood plasma to that we use today, because they found out he was black and wouldn't let him in. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, historical roles that we've been in, you know, stuff that they don't talk about. And when I talk about real black history, true black history, the fact that there were six great queens, including Cleopatra, that somehow been patternized now around Liz Taylor, so everyone's confused and believing that she's a white woman, when in actuality, anything up in that Mediterranean area, and even Saudi Arabia, is still part of Africa, is just across the river from there. I'm talking roles like you know, the seven great kings of Africa, you know what I'm saying? And the fact that whenever we see Africa on television, it's always children and folks that are in very poor areas, but there are developed areas that are beautiful in Africa that actually rival New York City and Los Angeles, but we never see stuff like that. I'm talking about the type of roles that when a child that's impressionable and young, and I'm talking from childhood up through pubescence, that see these movies and can point to and say, this is someone that I want to be like. This is a person that's a great example of exactly, you know, who it is that I'm supposed to be. We just don't see enough of those types of roles, in my opinion, and there should be more of those roles. You know, my thing is that, and I think I've lost him, I'm sure he'll call back. My thing is that, for example, my second question of the night is, what is Hollywood's fixation on slave and butler movies? The only time it seems that we are under any type of consideration for any type of awards or any type of, you know, Oscars or anything like that, they have to come in the form of either a slave movie, or once again we go to stereotypes where Denzel won. Out of all the movies he's done, out of all the great flicks Denzel has done, and he is one of the rare examples of a guy that only gets the top billing movies, and I think that's, I'm kind of going along those lines too. He's just the top billing movies, right? But some of the top billing movies that he gets are movies where he, you know what I'm saying, he's Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? But he gets an Oscar for being a dirty cop, you know what I'm saying? And basically a criminally insane cop that goes around, you know, shooting suspects and stuff like that. These are the type of movies and the type of of Hollywood hiccups that I actually get tired of seeing. I mean, if you ask me what type of movies I want to see the same seriousness taken with black history beyond slavery and before slavery, the same emphasis that you give to Jewish Americans and Jewish folks, the Irish folks coming from their countries and all this other stuff. Now, granted, we were brought over here in such a way where we don't really actually know where we're from, actual, because we can't point to where we're from because of the importing of us over here to this country in one form or another. But I'm just saying, now that we're all educated on who's who and what's what, to me it's just time to have those type of movies and those type of images out there so that everybody can feel good about everything, because one of the reasons I feel that you got a lot of crime and a lot of other stuff that actually goes on is there's not enough broad enough paintbrush that's put out there that shows us everything that we could be. We only get a parcel of that. Your thoughts, Juan?
Well, I mean, yeah, and I would agree with you. It's just, I mean, I would agree with you on the fact that Denzel does tend to get the high quality roles, and it's to name a production where Tyler Perry didn't produce the movie. Matter of fact, Mr. Deeds was a movie that wasn't even produced by him, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't Mr. Deeds. It was another one where he played. I forgot what the name of the movie was. But he played, like, one of the top main characters, and he didn't produce it. He wasn't one of the producers.
Is that the one when he was a police officer?
Yeah.
That was it. What was the name of that flick? That was an excellent flick right there that we saw Tyler Perry in. And, I'm ashamed that I can't remember, you know, what the name of the movie was. But the bottom line is that he played a cop in Detroit. And I'm telling you that he was on deck for that. And I thought to myself, I think this is one of the reasons why he kind of wants to shake the Madea theory, because it's kind of like William Shatner playing Captain Kirk or Reeves playing Superman all the time. Once you get typecast into a role, it's kind of hard for you to shake that role off. It's kind of hard for you to get your footing on having a different role. And to me, you know, all I'm saying is that I watch Hollywood's love affair with slave movies and butler movies and subservient role movies. And I'm just saying that, you know, we're all educated people now. It's 21st century. It's time to move on and show the different aspects of everyone's culture so that everyone feels that they're part of something. Because, I mean, I know there's a lot of money that's made off of penal institutions and stuff like that, but I think that the broader brush that I guess I'm trying to use, picture I'm trying to paint, is that I just want to see everyone, you know, in better roles than the ones that we've seen them in, because there's so much more to everybody that you don't need to continue to typecast, you know, everybody in these same types of roles. So, but you make some very, very good points at the same time, Juan, about the fact that there are a lot of roles out there that we do get a chance to see that, you know, that are out there, and I'm in agreement with you. I don't want to discount anything that you were saying, because, you know, you're 100 all the time, and I appreciate that, and that is something to consider, but I just want to see us all, you know, play in different roles. I think it's important, because, like I said, everybody's children need to see them, you know, in roles that are the ultimate best form. We're going to go ahead and take a quick breather, and so I can go pay a bill real quick. And then when I get back, you know what I'm saying, we're going to dig a little bit deeper off into this bad boy. Folks out there, you can reach us on Twitter, Google, and you can also reach us on Facebook. You know, Flossy Jeezy Show Worldwide, Black Love, Hollywood Sphere, True Black History. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I make it move like I wanna move with them horns. Let them play with them strings while I spit the life for kings. Put a cud in it, stud with it, we at it. Dudes that was meant to have it. Fans wanna reach out and grab it. I'm just an ordinary man with an unordinary lifestyle. Seen early, I would live as a child. I was conceived a mistake, but through God is really all it take for me to be born and make the earth shake. This was raised from the bottom, so before them plain clothes got them, soak up the four square mouths to pop them. It's me in the flesh, here to put them rumors to rest and let you celebrate hip-hop's best. From the womb to the tomb, hit the game real soon with a tune that's gonna take sun straight to the moon. Ted Al, see it's my turn now, all competitors bow, all you're saying is wow.
All I know is the way it gotta go.
About the pedigree, to own the whole catalog. All I'm saying is, don't sleep on me, dog. I really walk them streets there, school them young wolves. CL is slay anything in his way, okay? It's all about the aura I project, that ultimate connect, and how you see me as a man of respect, right? So it's like a mutual agreement, on your feet is in the cement. Learn the rules, let you earn your pay, sure. Nosy than you think of what it cost me, to how the world forced me to kill them softly, baby. How the music sound from the basement, and how the word bless me. Who let you see the fame don't impress me, dig it? Why it's cut from a different cloth, love to set it off. Keep a real nice piece in the loft, easy. Anytime you can hold your head, then you can hold some bread and relate to what CL said.
Yes. All I know is the way it gotta go, and everything it takes to hold me down. All I see is the way it gotta be. You can't see me hit the channel. This is my vibe, the way I survive.
Jeff on the turntable, Seal on the M-I-C, Philly on up to the N-Y-C, a breakdancer's guard, tags in the train yard, wild style fat lace, thugs locked up from a 1980s case, goons with them grown kids, used to them long bids, meet you on the dance floor slash the visit did, a lot for the rep to, and see it all make sense, if I'm the king, yeah, that should make you the fresh prince, send for the driver, you looking at the real soul survivor, like my man J Period mixtape, the man on fire, featuring the guest that Jeff hosts. You marvel at the up close and personal meeting of the minds. You should read the signs. This is what reclines. The thoughts in my lazy boy fit like a hand in glove from the city of brotherly love.
All I know is the way it gotta go. Everything it takes to hold me down. All I see is the way it gotta be. If you came to see me hit the channel, this is my vibe.
Do I love you? Do I lust for you? Am I a sinner because I do the two? Can you let me know right now, please, for me to ask the boy?
Question the authority. Mm-hmm. Chairman of the board, chief of affection. You got mine to sway in your direction. Hey, you're like a hip hop. pop song, you know. Benita Applebum, you gotta put me on.
Benita Applebum.
Tell you things some brothers don't. If only you could see through your elaborate eyes. Only you and me, hun, the love never dies. Satisfaction, I have the right tactics. And if you need them, I got crazy prophylactics. So far, I hope you like rap songs. Applebum, you gotta put me on.
Benita Applebum, you gotta put me on. Benita Applebum, I said you gotta put me on. Benita Applebum, you gotta put me on. Benita Applebum, I said you gotta put me on. Benita Applebum, you gotta put me on. Benita Applebum, I said you gotta put me on. Benita Applebum, you gotta put me on. Benita, Benita, Benita.
Classic hip hop, I tell you. Hey man, I'm gonna need a little piece of... Go ahead, what would you say?
Man, I just got some really good news, but I'm just gonna share it. Well, you know what the deal is, but they're hiring here in Atlanta. My folks is hiring here in Atlanta. In Atlanta, Chicago and let me see. Yeah, Atlanta, Phoenix, and San Antonio.
Excellent, excellent.
So
absolutely.
If you know
excellent.
Any folks, let me know.
That'll work, man. That'll definitely work. You know, we're talking black love, the fear of the true history, you know what I'm saying, that we have that they just don't talk about. And there's this little clip on the Atlanta Black Star, and it says 10 African kings and queens whose stories must be told on film. And, you know, they talk about, you know, different folks from King Ramses II right on down to the Queen of Sheba and King Hannibal and Queen Yasante Twaya and Shaka Zulu. And it says here that, according to the reading, whenever this was printed, he said that Nick Cannon expressed his disdain for movies such as The Django Unchained and The 12 Years a Slave, saying that he's tired of seeing black people portrayed as slaves on film, recognizing that African people's history started prior to the enslavement. The actor tweeted that he would like to see blacks portrayed kings and queens in film instead. Why don't they make these movies about our African kings and queens? You know what I'm saying? Pound sign, you know, our history. He said, I would love to see the film about Akhenaten and his beautiful wife, Queen Nefertiti, or, you know, Cetewayo, a king of a war hero. I'm about to drive off to my office right now to start to develop a new Hollywood trend. So, I mean, this along with, and that's surprising that that story would be there so timely, because I was just going to open that up and start mentioning some of the kings and queens that we had in history that, like I said, Hollywood, for whatever reason, will not and does not want to talk about. So I guess the third question of the night would be, you know, why is it that the only roles that we get for Oscar nominations are these type of movies that don't set us in this fashion? And, you know, with the servant roles and slave roles and, you know, Denzel, the dirty cop, you know, roles like that, and I just question, is there a hidden message
such as, you know, is there a yearning, a wishing that these good old days that were not good old days for everybody, but some would return? Or what do you think the hidden message is when the only time you can get accolades on the highest level for our movies? And you mentioned some good stuff earlier, Juan, but in reality, the movies that you mentioned, especially the, you know, the Black Love stuff, just like the Black Love series that I've made. The reason I've named this thing Black Love is because there's not enough speech about African-American history so far as all the facts beyond slavery and prior to slavery, and the media just doesn't talk about our love story enough. So even if there is family roles and family stuff and things where there's lessons to be taught, those type of things don't really get touted. It's the dirty cop or the, you know what I'm saying, you know, the betrayal or some kind of off the wall or some kind of buffoonery that gets the props for Oscars, while the serious subject matter on the other side of the House of Representatives, they get this type of deal. Do you think that there's a hidden message here that maybe, you know, they like to expose this, you know, because maybe they like remembering when brothers were getting beat by whips and chains, or what is it? Because, I mean, there was almost a half a dozen nominations for 12 Years a Slave, but then you turn around and you do a story about some actual history of ours or something else that's the opposite of that, and it gets no play whatsoever, or our human interest story. Because I get tired of just seeing suburban love being displayed all the time and our faces aren't in there. What do you think? Is there a hidden message behind that, or is that just how Hollywood does the usual business? What is that?
It's just Hollywood. It's really just Hollywood, man. And it's not that that's where they want to see us back at. It's that they never stopped looking at us like that. You feel me?
Right.
You know which roles I wanted to see Oscar nominations in? Brown Sugar.
Right.
Love and Basketball. Love Jones. Amazing movies. You know, scripted to the T. You know, beautiful movies. Brought a tear to your eye. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
Hollywood didn't even acknowledge them.
And therein lies the problem. Go ahead.
Those are the modern roles that I want to see. And I do want to let y'all know that I'm at work, so I might get quiet and see y'all. But,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Those roles, man. You know, stronger than any Tyler Perry movie I've ever seen.
Well, see, this is exactly the problem that I have, is that, unfortunately, the way it goes down, and the way that they do their business, you know, it's as if they don't want to see us in those type of roles. It's as if they would prefer to see us in roles where we're the worst that we can be, and that's part of Hollywood's problem. We never get recognized for actually being a loving spirit, because if we are seen in that light, that would like completely go against what the status quo is. That would be completely against you know, everything that we're about. And it's unfortunate that it's that way, because we really are a loving people. We really do love our children. We really are concerned about our neighborhoods. We actually are, you know, good, solid citizens. And it's just like in the rap world, where you have guys doing charity events all the time. But those aren't the stories that get out. We got some feedback. So we got a little feedback. Okay, good. Those are not the stories that get the pub, as it were. Those particular stories, you know, are kind of bypassed and looked over. But if something goes bad at a rap concert, or there's a stampede, or there's a shooting, it's front page news. And so they do the same thing with our movies. Denzel can get an award for being a dirty rogue cop, Halle Berry, even though she was in 007 and looking mighty fine, let me tell you, she wasn't getting any props for that, but yet she betrays P. Diddy when he's in jail, and for, of all people, to match her up in Hollywood, a love scene with Billy Bob Thornton, of all people. And so when I see this kind of stuff happening on the regular that happens, to me that's problematic because our people are so much more than that, and we've always been so much more than that. Sugar Ray always talks about the Hidden Color series where you find out so much truth about it, stuff that we just don't know about. I mean, the fact that, you know, we created the almanac. They set the same schedule that farmers of today follow all the way back to George Washington's day was because a black man created the almanac. That's a story in itself. That, you know, same fellow that created the almanac is the same fellow, Benjamin Banneker, who designed the buildings and the streets for Washington and gave them traffic signals on the streets to handle all of that traffic. We never hear about these guys. These are the types of movies that I would like to see. These are the type of movies that I would like African-American children to see because first of all, it's a priority to me because, like I said, under the auspices of black love, it's one of those type of things where you want your children to see that they can be something besides a gun-toting drug dealer. It's the type of image that you want to give your children to see, and I'm not being preachy, but I'm just saying, it, what is that should be, that is not. It's us being focused in a more positive light because we've had more than a few positive people that have had inventions. We have no lights to read up under and do shows up under if the black man hadn't created the filament that went in the light bulb. We'd have no escalators and elevators if a black man hadn't had those ideas. Well, sure, they would have modified it, but some of your first navigators, which is how the slave ships got over in the first place, those navigators or those ships were blacks because they're the ones who were the first to do astrology. As a matter of fact, it's now been related that the first Chinese, people with the mathematics, the first Chinese were black. And see, here again, these are not stories that is given up because the purported larger society does not want you to know what your real history is. If you want to know what kind of movies I want, these are the kind of movies that I want because everybody has to feel inclusive because believe it, if you make murderers out of all of our children, chances are you are on a percentage matrix where at some point, one of your children is going to be murdered or something is going to happen if you don't give a community that much same props. And with all this gentrification and all this weird stuff, and I'm going to advance the conversation, at least part of it, into this new thing that they keep coming up with everything that's the new black, whether it's homosexuality is the new black or orange is the new black or all this other stuff that they keep creating and calling the new black. It's not only disrespectful, but it's insulting because under the Orange is the New Black thing, there's a white girl that goes to jail for about a year or so, and you got all these sisters who are also wearing orange prison jumpsuits just happy to fucking death while they're in jail, and there's nothing happy about being in jail. So in reality, that's not a realistic program to even have on television. But why do you keep on creating fuckery and asking if it's the new black? So basically what white society is telling us is that everything that's fuckery and bullshit is the new black? Enough already. We are, as a community and everything else, we are so much more a larger society than that, and that's why I create shows like this, because Hollywood's paranoia, fear of a black man holding a gun, When we haven't created any world wars, we didn't drop any bombs on anybody and kill anybody, we're not being able to see what our perspective is as African Americans. And I don't want, like I said, I don't want to beat a horse in the blue, but you understand where I'm coming from, why these questions come up. And the only medium where you can see even a facsimile of yourself, unfortunately, gets channeled through a Hollywood that doesn't care about our story, at least not enough to give us anything serious of substance to look at. And that's why I created this segment tonight. And there will be other parts of it. So I guess, again, I'll get back around to the short form is, with all the African history that truly exists, why do you think the focus is never on these roles?
I mean, I don't know, but it could be the sense that sometimes it doesn't necessarily make as good as money as could be, but, I mean, or that there's certain ways that they may want to portray it different, that they'd like to portray it differently. It's really up to the writer. How the writer writes their things, how their writers write their, the script is how the director can direct it. It's how the producer will produce it. So it comes down to what exactly happened, you know? I mean,
but
it comes down
but
to who
it's a broad spectrum now of who we are. Are we actually getting a broad spectrum, or is it just that they're comfortable with us being just in that format, since he's the one writing that story?
Right. I mean, it's really like people used to say back in the day, it's all in the eye of the beholder in the case of writing scripts. And when it comes to writing scripts, it's the writer who writes the script. It's the producer who runs with how the script is written by the writer. It's the director who directs it based on what the writer writes. Not based on what they feel, but based on what the writer writes, what's written by the writer. Because in scripts, they do have the opportunity to put who would be, you know, what type of character this would be, whether it's a white person, a black person, a Caucasian, a darker, lighter, whatever. All those descriptives are written in the script that comes from the writer. So are the writers in Hollywood coming up with a unrealistic point of view, or already having that mindset? Where are they getting these scripts from that aren't realistic? Because if you're claiming that these opportunities are not becoming available, they're not becoming available because maybe the writer's not being taught it in the school that they went to, that they don't know about the history of where they come from, that they don't know if the writer's not African American, that they don't know the history period. That they weren't taught the history. So then who do you blame? Do you blame the education system that taught the writer how to write by not incorporating black history into the actual curriculum for them to learn it and know it? To know who these people are?
Come on now, Juan. That's a little ambiguous. Okay, we're talking about Hollywood, California, and Hollywood in New York. And Hollywood everywhere else, where Hollywood is its largest in this country. And you mean to tell me with all of the research that they do on going in and finding out how many different ways there is to be the black man's ass in a movie, that they can't somehow go in there and do further research, knowing that they're the ones that went in and raided the sphinxes and the tombs over in Egypt and changed around all the history to form fit it so that we're nothing and everyone else is something, and they won't even tell the history of who we are as a
people. Who's
going to
pay for that, Flossie?
If they couldn't come in and do that?
Who's going to pay for that? Who's going to pay for it? What hand you know is going to put up his money for that?
I would think that it would be all these brothers and sisters who's part of Hollywood to put together the money to help pay for that and to endorse that and actually to demand that.
They got too much money for that, man. That'll mess up their money. That's why you don't see those roles. And you've got a lot of black folks that have a little bit of power in Hollywood, but they're not going to do it.
Do you know what this sounds like to me?
Because
black
it'll cut them off, bro. Yeah, it'll cut them off.
Again, fear, Hollywood's fear of true black history. That's exactly what this sounds like. It sounds more than, and I agree with both of y'all, by the way. You guys both make great points, and I agree 110% with you. But that is exactly why, you know, that I titled this thing, Hollywood's Fear of True Black History, 646-595-3402. And you guys are making very good points, and I agree with you. That probably is most definitely what it is on both points, the lack of education in our institutions and the fact that the studios themselves don't feel that that's viable stuff to search out and go over. But in their minds, the more viable money is on the homosexual love story, or the more viable money is on the enslavement of black people and what a great thing that was, and so many different ways from being hung. I could probably go all the way back to Roots, all the way to 12 Years a Slave, and I could probably name off about 50 different positions that a black man had his ass whipped in a movie. And they're that creative, but they can't be creative enough to say, okay, let's do some actual factual stuff. But I know why you don't do it. Let me quit being ambiguous. I know why you don't do it. You have a fervent fear of giving empowerment to African Americans, to give them the thought that they could actually be something greater than they are. Because if you do, it would challenge the authority that you feel you have over people, and that's why you actually don't do it. And that's why Hollywood doesn't do it. But they want us to cry and snivel over everybody else's story but our own. They want to lend energy to everybody else's history but our own. So actually, I understand what it is, but you guys are giving very good reasons why that shows like this are necessary. And by the way, this isn't the only segment on this particular story that we're running on this, because there's a whole lot of other stuff that we could get more intricate in, and we will get more intricate into it, because, like I said, it's just necessary a conversation, man, because, like I said before, there is a fear out there. And sometimes when you have a purported dominant society, there is a big fear of giving any more empowerment to people who you know are strong. You know what I'm saying? People who you know are intelligent, and a new generation of people who just basically are not falling for the nonsense that's always been that Hollywood has descriptive out. So I guess, it would almost be a moot point to ask, why is Hollywood only interested in the shows that Juan was talking about before? Juan, I'll let you start out with this one. Why is Hollywood only interested in black TV shows or sitcoms and buffoonery and never on regular black action things? Why is that?
Because they, first off, I constantly have repeated in the past, if you wanna look at it at this in this aspect, back in the times of the kings and queens, back in the times when there was hierarchies, back in the times where there was royalty, in countries across the world, nations across the world, when they were caught in a really, really bad situation where they didn't want the public to realize what really is going on, who do they call? Who do they call? The court jester. And what does the court jester come and do? The court jester's job was to come and entertain the multitudes of people while the fuckery happened in the background. While the fuckery happened in the background... And by the time everyone even came to realization that the fuckery was going on, guess what? It was already too late. You were already on a boat. What could you honestly say? Hello?
Well, you honestly couldn't say anything. Not back in those days, but today you do have the freedom to speak up. But like my man just said, I think it comes down to people being afraid to lose that paper. They're afraid to pay into some real stuff. And we saw what happened with Malcolm X. Oh, it was controversial. Oh, we had to line up. Oh, we need security because black people are going to watch a movie and flip the hell out and go tear up everything. By the way, I was working for a security guard company, and I had to guard that movie. And it was entertaining and funny and everything else. And all it did was tell a story. But Mississippi Burning that runs around and shows, blacks being killed and Klansmen riding off into the sunset almost on some 21st century birth of a nation type stuff, you know, you're able to see these movies and these flicks, and they get all kind of accolades, and nobody was lining up outside worried about the KKK running somewhere. I mean, it all depends on who's telling the story, and I guess that's why they call it his story, because when you look at history and you look at how things are done and how things have always been mapped out, for whatever reason, we can't even be trusted to even go watch a movie without having a mounted policeman outside the theater with 5 and 6 cop cars just in case things got out of hand, like watching Denzel Washington, of all people, was going to make you jump up and leave out of the movie theater and just run around and start capping white folks because Malcolm X was playing. That's the type of fuckery and chicanery that I'm talking about that happens. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, you know, you're coming up with all kinds of same-sex movies. You're coming up with all kinds of, you know, movies that continue to depict us as basically, you know, slovenly and sloppy people, and people that don't care about nothing. Trying to change that, man. It really is. Trying to change
but
that.
But there's fears, man. There's fears. Like, right now, they want to make movies about our hope and how we should keep hope. Like, things are going to get better. You know, things are going to ask, like, you know, they'll get better. Hope. What they don't want is us to make movies about actual for actual power and not just hope. And that's kind of where we're at right now, especially with the movie. I would love for somebody to go and figure out exactly how many of these Butler and Spoke display movies have come out with Obama staying in office. You feel me?
Right.
Like, that's it. They want us to hope, wish, dream, but they don't want us to actually have the feeling of overcoming or becoming greater than the stereotype. You know?
Now that's the truest statement I've heard tonight. That's the truest statement I've heard tonight, and that's huge right there. That's huge. You know what I'm saying? That says a load. And that's the truth, Rawhide. That's the truth. Well, I'm brought up some good points, but that right there ultimately is what it comes down to. Say that one more time for the crowd out here.
It's they rather see us hope than to see us actually do. Point blank. They want to make movies about us hoping instead of us actually doing it. You know, because, you know, just like with the premiere of Malcolm X, man, like, yes, they were worried. They were really worried, you know. And they had cops everywhere because it was like, this might open somebody's eye. And we don't know how fast it'll open their eye. We don't know what it'll do when they actually have the truth. Yeah.
They most definitely certainly fear the numbers factor. They most definitely certainly fear the thought of, you know, I know the Million Man March shook them up so bad that it shook them into having Million This March and Million That March and all this other kind of, you know, odd stuff that you see. I mean, it's incredible that, you know, this fear factor that goes down, that people see us being a part of, you know, it's just incredible. Like I said, they thought that we were going to go out and kill up a bunch of folks. I mean, the O.J. Simpson trial had them on shook. You know, they're always ready and standing by the door with the nightstick, but they don't stand by the door to give us a hand up. It's almost as if they fear that if we get some kind of hand up or some kind of understanding on who we are, that you know, that it's all over.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press one at any time.
Whoa.
And the host will be notified. You are now in the host queue.
We got the whole message. Hey, are you all right out there? Okay, yeah, you had to call back in. He came in with the waves right there. He'd be ready to start locking on them, you know, get the waves going. But
look what you've been doing, Flossie. You've been pissed somebody off.
Who
did you piss off?
I don't know, man, but we better bring Sugar Ray on in here. Hey, come on in, man. You in here, man. You was throwing waves like the LA Lockers a little while ago. But
it was a lot of echoes and stuff going on. I was wondering, like, man, did I dial too many times or something?
Hey, man, with a title like Black Love, Hollywood Sphere, True Black History, 606-595-3402. I don't know. Maybe somebody was out there listening, and maybe their microphone, you know, up in D.C. or somewhere, you know, caught wind of something going on, and maybe they were afraid to, you know, see how we was reacting. But man, we talked about how's the night going tonight. Got Ron in the building, got Juan, and we got the mystery caller, a patient listener, 111 in the building. So what's going down?
Nelson.
Yes.
Mr. Flossie.
Yes.
I would beg to differ that you may have a CIA operative listening, because 111. I'm just saying, you got a CYA on that one. Yo,
I've been DC. I never mentioned no numbers. I never mentioned any names, so they might try to check you out.
I'm just saying, calling it 111, not saying nothing, then the phone go kind of crazy. You do know they have the capabilities, right?
Don't run my guess. I want to know who 111 is. They've been real patient and listening in, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not trying to get no one run anyone off. I'm just saying we don't need another Dr. King issue now, because they don't like controversy now. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
That's a no-no.
They look at those last names like King, and they say, oh, we got to check him out.
I don't know who that is. Y'all ain't helping though. I don't want to get washboarded now. Come on.
Before we get farther
into trouble, let's dive back in here, man. I wanna rinse Sugar Ray off real quick and get him back up in here and ask him, man. Why is it that only that with all the serious roles that's out there, why are all of the black roles, instead of getting serious subjects, why do we seem to get relegated to just, you know, servant roles and servitude roles? Why do you think that is?
Because we don't own and have no power. We don't have no control. We have no really big time control of the industry, man. They basically write the scripts, and it's to make them seem like they have the power, and they put us
second. What's going to pay for it?
They put us second. And that's what they want. That's basically how they see it, and that's how they present us. And at the same time, man, it's one of those things that they just don't know nothing about us, and they try to think they know us, so they try to put out these slave movies. I think that's something that'll help us, and I think we like that. But the thing about it, what they don't know is, man, is that that's all they know of us, and that's all they want us to know, and that's all they want the world to know.
I remember, you know, personally about that, Sugar Ray. They invited you to go see. They invited you to go see. Which one was it, Butler?
Oh man. Check it out, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, when that, I didn't
that.
know I didn't know anything about that movie, man. I had to end up going to see that, man. That was horrible, man.
But can I ask a question, Cigarette? And I hate to be, again, I'm probably gonna end up getting blacklisted after this comment. But
no, please, no.
And this is Black Love. But, you're already on the list.
I just don't want to be blacklisted or blackballed. I don't need no one coming up behind me putting a gun in my head talking about, you said this on the Flossy Jeezy show. No. My thing about it is this, honestly and truthfully, that the character that was portrayed by in the movie The Butler, I honestly think it was very influential, and it spoke highly in the same. Yes, it was a servant role or whatever. Yes, the guy was a butler in the movie. And he was a butler, but guess he was a butler too. But guess how influential that person is, because regardless of if in the movie it was portrayed as he was pretty much to a certain extent, they went to him and talked to him about certain things. There were certain things that he knew that no one else knew.
Well, the thing about it is, man, is that. You know, it's presented and it's put together, and when it's shown on the big screen like that, it'll make you feel that way. But when you look at it, because it has a horrible beginning with a very good ending. You know, I ain't gonna say good, but I would say a very uplifting ending, so people get a good feel of it. But the thing about it though is that. If you take out the beginning, if you don't look at the beginning and you don't look at the end and you just catch the stuff in the middle and just stay, understand, let that stick on your head, you will understand what I'm saying. Because it's to a point, man, not only is it servant, but it's to the point, man, there's so many shots, man, so many things in that movie, man, that show you that, show how weak, it shows a very weak side of us. And in that movie at the same time, there's a little part where the brother was being a panther and the sister was being a panther. They don't show much of that. See, what I'm trying to say is those movies, they don't come out with some stuff like, what about the panther party? What about some kings and queens? Some stuff about us, man, on a real, real, real honest, real level. You know what I'm saying?
It's never. Now, I hate to, again, I don't need to be killed for this, okay? I don't need y'all to come. And then again, I live in a very racist state, so I need to be careful.
Oh, yeah,
about
no doubt. Georgia is, no doubt about it.
So, but yeah, about as far as when you touched on the fact of that it showed the Black Panthers, the Black Panther Party, but if you really look at the Black Panthers. One of the Black Panthers' leaders were killed pretty much by another Black Panther. It was a progressive movement, but they went about it the wrong way on certain aspects. They went about it instead of peaceful protesting, they were more or less action, like moving in action, looking to want to start something with someone and not really, not.
Well, you know, actually, let me say this right quick. That's wrong about the Panthers you're saying right there, because thing people don't understand, that's what they were saying, but Panthers were never on the offense. Panthers was basically doing programs to help the inner city and taking care of communities and stuff like that. There has never been a Panther going out there lynching or shooting or attacking nobody. They've been in a situation to protect their own and teach their own and been in programs to help the community. And the only thing that people feared was because they were black and they were a bunch of black men and they had guns. That was the problem.
But you said a key word there. You said a key word, and let's touch on it and break that down. You said that they were black men. Think about the time frame that they were in. there were black men
mm-hmm.
that wore black
right.
that carried guns.
Right.
What purpose would you have with a gun?
I can tell you. I can tell you when you get water hosed down and you're getting the shit beat out you and you ain't got no justice, sometimes you got to make it and take it. You know what I'm saying? And
but
you go
was,
out there.
But what about that? That's understandable in the southern part of the southern states. What was the purpose of having guns in the north? Where
no, hey brother,
getting your grape cracked in Chicago, man. My hometown, them cops was beating the hell out of niggas up in Chicago.
Yeah, man, they get down everywhere, man. They get down everywhere, man. It's real, man. It's that.
And have
going
you seen
down.
The rural areas of D.C.? Like the rural areas of D.C. all black.
Yeah.
Been that way for a really long time, and
yeah,
it's really horrible.
Yeah. He goes down, man. So the thing about, like I said, man, but they never broke the law, though. You was allowed to carry. You could do that, man, because, you know, I mean, you could carry a gun around at that time, man. I mean, it was like that, but they never was breaking the law. It was just so happened, man. Go ahead.
And you guys do realize that there was a Black Panther movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. They went in there and they were the brothers up in Chicago.
Man, and you know what? They put way too much information in that movie for me. Like, I hated that movie at the end because they did nothing but give you the facts of what happened, and it was horrible. They got another brother to bring drugs in the hood and killed the whole gang. And that's the end. And here we are now. So there's your Black Panther movie.
I'll tell you something, man. A little known fact that people don't know, Juan, is that KKK was started in Indiana. Wasn't started down south. So when the Boogaloo brothers with the dirty sheets come riding through the hood, that shit was started in Indiana, a state right next door to my home state of Illinois and south of Michigan. And a lot of people don't know that stuff. And if they did a map the other day, the old lady looked up, and I'll have to find that graph and send it up to you. 80% of the KKK activity right now is in the northern states, all the way up in the Massachusetts. And so there's this theory that a lot of that stuff started down south, but in reality, it was always in the small towns. It was never in the big cities because the niggas was cracking some asses up in the big cities. As quiet as they like to keep it about Martin Luther King, I saw some original movies, Eye on the Prize, where Martin Luther King was whooping some ass. So they always like to try to call him the Prince of Peace, but when it becomes necessary, what Richard Ray was just saying, when it becomes necessary to stand up and be counted, that's when you have to kind of stand up and be counted. You can't be peaceful all the time. But the thing, getting back into our topic, though, when you have the reason why I'm so on Hollywood right now is because just like we're having this conversation right now, we can use our imagination. Hollywood gives you a visual all the time of us only being second runner-up to everything. In movies, on regular television, and everywhere else, you can still be called a nigga, whether it's in a movie at 7 o'clock in the evening or turn on a given Heat of the Night episode at 9 o'clock in the morning and be called a nigga still. And so the imbalance of everything that's going on, and that was the other question that I had as I shoot back into where we were at. It says here that it's a two-part question. Why is Hollywood so enamored? Why are they so fixated on Slave and Butler movies? Part two of that question is, with all the stereotypes that's out there, right, you know, you got the N-word still prevalent on television in the movie, and this disrespectful fuckery, you know, the one it seems to be the latest flavor of the month that's thrown all over everywhere, as I mentioned earlier, is this thing called the New Black. This New Black thing that they keep coming up with that, in my opinion, is disrespectful. It's an abortion term, and every time you turn around, you're being asked dumbass questions. It's homosexuality, the New Black. Get the fuck out of here. Is, you know, Orange is the New Black.
fuck out of here with that. Because the last time I checked, Orange is the New Black. You've got these women in jumpsuits, orange jumpsuits in jail. And they're all jumping around up in there like they happy to be up in jail with this little white girl. And they're all jumping and running around. Everybody's all happy and shit. And you ask them questions like, is this the New Black? Is that the New Black? To me, that's fuckery. Because what you're saying is that anything that's buffoonery, anything that's fucked up and silly, or anything that you can throw together to throw out there on us, that becomes the flavor of the month. It needs to stop. It's disrespectful. And no one calls into the carpet on that. Now, if you had some dumb shit going on where people were getting the shit slapped out of them and it just happened to be gay people, oh, man, you'd have people running in the streets. You'd have people trying to use a battering ram to get into the White House and everything else. But it's okay to come up with this. This is the New Black. That's the New Black. And all this insultive, disrespectful shit. I think that's fuckery. And I think that it needs to quit happening because it's too prevalent. And that mixed with everything else that we've discussed and talked about is the reason why I created this. And this is not the last time we're going to touch on this Hollywood thing because, like I said, there's so much black history that we don't hear about. The only time you see blacks on TV in Africa is with a bunch of poor folks and flies all over their kids and stuff. But they literally have cities that are so beautiful, they rival Los Angeles and New York, but you never hear about those places because, like I said before, there's no interest in it. There's like there's no interest in helping the women that are being circumcised. There's no, real interest in helping those African people because they're not close to the pipeline. So the parts of Africa where the pipeline runs through, a.k.a. the Middle East, which is still Africa, if you go look at your map right now, Saudi Arabia is still connected to Africa. Nazareth, where Jesus came from, still connected to Africa. All these places are still connected to Africa, but for whatever reason, you're so afraid to give up that history. You're so afraid to come in and say, okay, look, this is where it is, this is what's going on, and this is how people actually are. If you give people no hope, if you give people no standing in any parts of the world community, and you continue to have children going to jail at early ages, arresting 10-year-olds, doing all this other weird stuff, and you don't depict anything positive about people, then at some point you are going to be on a matrix where this type of behavior affects you, just like it was when you put the crack in the black neighborhoods, and now everybody's stuck on crack and meth, and it doesn't matter what color you are now. Okay? And everybody, and by the way, everybody who's in jail right now for a marijuana bust, let them out. Because you're legalizing marijuana. So let them out of jail.
Now, Flossie, I do have to stop you, man. You're taking the Orange is the New Black out of context, though, because what they're having their play on is fashion and women in their fashion. That's what they mean by the black name, Orange is the New Black. They're not talking about black people now. If you want to talk about the actual blacks on the show, they do have one character that was really crazy because she got out of jail and ended up right back in like the next episode or the episode after that. Like she just couldn't handle not being away from jail. And I found that one is rather BS, especially because the character that she's playing isn't stupid, rather intelligent. But they tried to make it seem like, oh, being out on the streets and all this stuff is so horrible and having to live with an aunt and sleep on the floor that she'd just rather be back in jail. And that
I appreciate the clarity on that, but like you said, they still figured out a way to make it where that's still the New Black. I got to go back to jail.
I would, Flossie, encourage you to watch that show. Because you would then understand what the purpose behind it is. And it has, and I would agree with what Raha said about that episode where the woman said, the character said that she couldn't deal with being outside of jail. So she ended up coming right back in. So I'm in total agreement with Raha, and I stand in agreement with what Raha said. And But I would encourage you to really know what the context of that show is about. I would encourage you to watch it.
But you know what my problem with that is, though, man? What I'm trying to say is you see a lot of stuff like that, man, that's dealing with blacks, man, but every time they have stuff on television like that, I mean, what I'm saying is, I want to know who came up with that title and who's behind the scenes of doing that. Because think about it, how can you tell me what black is? You going to tell me the orange is new black? Because what I'm trying to say is, man, okay, it may be this and be that, but it's not so much about, see, we haven't even watched it. But think about this. There's a whole bunch of other kids that ain't watched it. There's a whole bunch of other people that ain't watched it. But the fact that that title, that's a shot, man. It's like, yo, how are you gonna tell me?
We have to have a woman on the show to explain it to y'all. But they get it off the bat. Any woman would get the reference off the bat, straight off the bat.
What I'm saying, please call in, ladies. What I'm trying to say, bro. Okay, that movie, man. The problem is, man, is that that's a man. They make money off talking about us dressed in orange. Being locked up in orange. There's a lot of us locked up. I'm serious. They're making money.
And
what I'm trying to say is, man, is that I just don't know, man. I just feel like, man, there's so much race and so much going on, man. It's controversial. It's controversial, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Oh, no. The show is definitely controversial. But it's more of the fact of this woman who ain't got no business being in jail, having to deal with the situation of being in jail. And, of course, what I like about the show is her situation gets worse, just like everybody's situation who happens to go to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it doesn't fix anybody, you know? It only makes it worse, and it only makes your life worse, you know? There is no correction there. There is, you know, decomposing of your life and who you are and your will, but there is absolutely positively no correction that goes on in correctional facilities, regardless of who you are. And but yeah, they do try to make it seem like it's hip. It's this hip thing to be in jail now, because now this lady, you know, who should be, you know, this high fashion lady living in New York or something, is now sitting in jail, and, you know, her little black dress has now become an orange jumpsuit.
Well, I'm glad you gave me some clarity on what the subject matter was about,
but I don't know. Maybe I'm
so caught up on the thread.
My question is that we were talking, and Sugar Ray was talking about how that's a stereotypical thing of saying how African Americans or how people of color in general wear orange jumpsuits in jail. But do you realize when it comes to the situation of society as it is right now, do you know that there's more African American inmates that are recurrent prisoners because they continue to break the law?
Mm-hmm.
But when they do come out of jail, they don't do anything to better themselves. I mean, they do all these programs in jail. They come out, break the law, and go right back to jail. Can you explain that to me? Because
an interesting thing about that factor that you just gave, though, the other side of that, they never tell us how many white people do that. And I'm quite sure the percentage isn't that much different from ours, to be honest with you.
Once you come out
and get into the system, they continue to violate you even for the smallest thing. And where the system is flawed at, when a lot of these guys come out, if you say that you're rehabilitating somebody, part of rehabilitation is either a continuing education or some sort of work so that they can get into, so that they can stay out of trouble. Now, if you're not going to provide, even though these people are coming out, they don't all come out at the same time. And if you're not willing to provide work for these people that come out, black, white, Hispanic, or whatever, then they're going to continue to violate because people can't eat off air. And, yeah, they do get educated in school, but with the way things are and the way the economy is and stuff, and has been for quite some time, if you don't provide things for them to do, even some minimum wage something or something that's a set-aside program that they used to have for people that, are in different situations, you're going to have people that are going to continue to violate the parole.
Question is, why would they? Prisons are big money. Why would they ever try to keep people out of them?
Okay.
That's the truth right there.
And on that note, we're gonna pay one last set of bills, and when we come back, we're gonna finish this up, man. I love you guys. I appreciate the support, and like I said before, even the host can get clarity when he calls in because I'm so caught up on why you keep saying the new black if you don't know what it is. Okay, so we're Black Love Hollywood's Prayer of True Black History Part One. 646-595-3402. We'll be right back.
Understood that you're my mind forever.
Forever is a long time.
Why not stay my mind for a while?
At least until I die.
And understood that you're my mind forever.
But the truth is, we can at least try. Wanna see you cry.
And understood
that
you're
my
mind forever.
Forever is a long time.
Why not stay my mind for a while?
At least until I die. But the truth is, it's elusive. Questionable counterfeit mood swings while trying to have a nice night at the movies. Fuck who's she, who's he? Mr. Awesome Powers with the mood rings, asking you questions about the tattoo on your booty. And I ain't do shit, but wave hi to a groupie that got me high once or twice. You acting like you nine, what you mean I'm out of line? You see, you do this shit all the time, I'm hustling hard on the grind. Still trying to find ways to let you know that you're mine, right? Am I lying? You ain't gonna say nothing, okay? I'll keep talking and fine, this is about trusting on both of us. That's been rough, but being quite invested, either we must let it go and move on, or let it continue through this whole damn song. Or does life go on? It's not right and wrong, it's about love being punched drunk and romance in the stone. I ain't surviving alone, but you say the word and I'll pack my shit and I'm gone. But understand it takes love to make a home. Forever is a long time. At least until I die. But the truth is, we can at least try. I don't ever want to see you cry. And how come every time I'm in the kitchen, you in the kitchen, telling me how I wash the dishes in the sink? I'm not the one to trip, you barely see me drink. I ain't nobody's slave, fuck if I'm only working part-time on graves. This ain't the plan that I laid, but yet I'd say I'm adjusting at a phenomenal pace in this white man's rat race. I'd rather serve white by the crate, but I can't catch a case and let my baby see me behind that mean steel gate. I walk around this house like an inmate, just trying to get by. And I need to know why before I put my head to this nine. If the love is gone, that's fine. Let me stop wasting your time. I know you got plenty in line that's more intelligently inclined to fit your ego. Lately, you've been looking like you're more lost than Nemo, or possibly thinking of other people. I can't call it. You're not talking. I fell and I'm still falling. Something tells me you're not gonna catch me, and I'm gonna hit hard.
And understood that you're mine.
Forever is a long time.
Why not stay my mind for a while?
At least until I die.
And understood that you're my mind forever.
But the truth is, we can at least try.
Why not stay my mind for a while?
I don't ever want.
wanna see you cry. This is the last of it. Before I hop in this truck and split, let me just end it like this. I'm already missing your kiss. My predictions were worthless and probably didn't make sense. Let's make this as easy as we can on the kids. I mean, for me and you. Stu, make sure you're being better to you. Just focus on the last of your school. That degree's a bad tool to get you through. I never regret intimately knowing you. This talk that we had that made me glad that you were mine. Even when I got mad, as long as we worked it out, quick I was fine. But learn, even from loss, don't ever let our situation cover your heart and frost. Look now, we both understand the cost. The price isn't stakes we're willing to take. Sometimes you have to suffer a loss to really feel the way. Look, just to set the record straight, I love you and I'll probably never stay away. I'd rather live my life miserable with you, but I'll go unless you got something to say. Anything? Forever is a long time. At least until I die. But the truth is, we can at least try. I don't ever want to see you cry. Forever is a long time. One of the realest ever created. Pop.
It got niggas shitting tears, reminiscing on my past fears. Cause shit was hectic on me last year. It appears that I've been marked for death. My heartless breath, the underlying cause of my wreck. My life is stressed and no rest forever weary. My eyes stay teary for all the brothers that I buried in the cemetery. Shit is scary, I black on black crime legendary. But at times unnecessary, I'm getting busted. Teardrops and closed caskets for two strikes, law is drastic. And certain death for us ghetto bastards. What can we do when we're arrested? But open fire, life in the pen ain't for me, cause I'd rather die. But don't cry through your despair. I wonder if the Lord still cares for us niggas on welfare. And who cares if we survive? The only time he notices a nigga is when he's clutching on the 4-5. My neighborhood ain't the same, cause all the little babies going crazy or they suffering in the game. And I swear it's like a trap, but I ain't giving up on the hood. It's all good when I go back. Both show me love, niggas give me props. Forever hot, cause it don't stop. Oh my God.
Every day has been the same old thing.
Oh my block.
You either working or you're slanging cocaine.
Oh my block.
You had to hustle, cause that's how we was raised.
Oh my block.
You probably bred a fat pad of Tupac.
That shit is constantly hot on my block. It never fails to be gunshot. Can't explain the mother's pain when a son drops. Black males living in hell, when will we prevail? Fear in jail, but crack sales got me living
on
well.
On my block, the hangout was the thing back then. And even when you left out, you came back in. To my block from Hollywood, Belfort to Scott, Reed Road to Flocks, we know the spot.
On my block, hanging out, picking up games, sipping cheap liquor. Gaming the hoochies open, I can get to sleep. It's the man's work, staying strapped. Fantasies of a nigga living fat, but hell back.
On my block, it's like the world don't exist. We stay confined to this small little section we living in. On my block, I wouldn't trade it for the world, cause I love these ghetto boys and girls born and raised
on my block. Rest in peace to all the motherfuckers that passed away from all the blocks that I'm from. 112th Street, 7th Avenue, New York, up there. You know what I'm saying? 183rd and Walton, my block, that's right. 122nd and Mona Drive, my block, that's right. Decatur Avenue, Baltimore, my block. Jungle, Marine City. What's up, nigga? That's right. I was going down.
Man, that's a cold collabo right there, man. I don't know how they put that together, boy. But you know what I'm saying? They had the Magic and the Johnson on that when they was doing their thizzle, man. I like the way they put that together.
But,
another good show tonight, man. Black Love, Hollywood's Fear. You know what I'm saying? Of true black history. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna revisit this one again. Maybe not tomorrow night or the night after, but we're going to continue to visit this. And we're going to keep an eye on Hollywood, man. They ain't going to change, but we ain't going to change our thing either. We're going to keep this thing rolling and moving. But like I said before, I think we basically have covered everything. You know what I'm saying? As thorough as we could on this. Like I said, this is just some introductory flavor on the jam. You got about 20 minutes left to go. 646-595-3402. And so anybody else got anything out there they want to holler about or talk about, you know what I'm saying? We got a little bit of free air time here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I just want to say, man, I personally, when it comes to Hollywood, man, I just feel like if we had a lot more ownership and a lot more control to do the movies that we want and present how we want to present it, we'll be in a better shape. If we ever depend on Hollywood or anybody and think that's how it's going to be, they're going to always have the misinterpretation and the negative feedback and the funny type of stuff they're going to put out. That's going to be – it's going to always be that way because they really don't know. And at the same time, they're in that dumbed-down situation to where they're dumbed-down to where they want to keep everybody else dumbed-down. And the whole point I'm making is, man, is that there's some good stuff out, man, but in order for it to get the real truth thing, it's got to be a situation of us doing us. And that leads me into another segment of saying that, like, this week, Thursday, I think it is, June 26th, or whatever, it may not be Thursday, whatever, Friday, whatever, that's why Hidden Colors 3 come out. And that's another situation. Hey. That's my man Tariq Nasheed, man. He got something coming out in select areas, man. I'm quite sure down there in Atlanta he got something really hard. In that area he got something going on. And the thing about it, it's in select theaters, man. And he coming out of his own pocket. And he's putting it out and he's doing it. And then he'll come out later on with DVD. But what he's putting out is a harsh and true reality. And the thing about it, man, is that when you watch that and you listen to it, it's us doing us. And it's not a situation of anything that's a lie or anything they're just coming up with. They're putting down facts, man, and the truth. And I think it's something that needs to be heard. So that's all I got to say on that situation right there, man.
That's it right there. That's good stuff right there. Juan? Oh, you still in here, Juan? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? What you doing? Where you at?
we sitting here beating a dead horse. Let's just. I mean, I think honestly, could there be? But I mean, let's not sit here and build conspiracies to come. Because I guarantee you, if there is any conspiracies, I mean, it's the fact that we're not wanting to dish out our own money to make these movies that you're talking about. Because there's a lot of rich people that are African American that have the power behind them. And the ability behind them to put out these movies that you're discussing, to talk about factual stuff about African American history, but why aren't they?
Well, here again, like my man said, and then these cats owning these studios, man. You know what I'm saying? They ain't no ownership up in this thing, and
but they can
with the same zeal that Hollywood is putting out negative shit about us. They could do the opposite. They just choose not to. But like I said, Hollywood is the driving force. Tyler Perry does it, but we can't just depend on just Tyler Perry to do it. But at the same time, when you're making the other half of what you're asking is how come Hollywood doesn't do it?
Right, but
it's not like they couldn't make money. There's, like you said, there's millions of black people that now have money in their pockets. Hollywood could do it. They just choose not to.
Yeah,
but
see, the thing is, I don't mean to cut you out, Juan, but I'm going to say this real quickly, man. Yeah, there's a lot of rich blacks, but the thing about it, it's not enough wealthy blacks. And the ones that are wealthy are the people who own stuff, such as the white folks. They have it. They own it. And see, you can get rich because you can get rich off somebody else because you're working for someone else. But they control it, and so them guys are going on to serving those secondary roles of doing movies. They doing it, and they're getting rich off doing something that they just have to do because that's the only thing they can do. That's the only type of work they can do. They don't have any other thing out there. And, you know.
But one thing.
Well, he does have a – you do have a point. It's, you know, as my old lady was just saying, you know, that, you know, you do have your Michael Jordans and your Dre's and your Oprah Winfrey's and these other folks out here that got all of this surplus cash while they're buying, you know, $50,000 Barbie dolls and all this other weird stuff that they're buying out here and going to strip joints and throwing around $100,000. You know, on skimpy chicks. There's a lot of stuff that could be happening and that they could do. But I'm just saying, that, you know, that's a very valid point. That's a valid point. My only problem with that is, like I said before, you're back in the building, Rahid. But it's that it's one of these kind of deals where, you know, like I said, if Hollywood's got that energy to report that negative shit, they could do the other stuff too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what ends up happening is cats like me that watch movies and stuff, it's hard for me to continue to swallow down the Holocaust victim stuff and African-Americans have gone through 500 years of Holocaust because our Holocaust is still going on. You know what I'm saying? Blacks without employment and stuff, killing each other in my hometown and going through all that. You know, like my man said, nobody, you know, trying to own up and own nothing with the people who do got a little bit of paper. There's a lot of factors to why it's not just cut and dry. How come we don't go out and do stuff for the same reason that they don't go out to, on the other side, why they do what they did. They know exactly what they can do about getting things right. To me, you don't have to make the 1900 slave movie in order for us to understand how many different ways a black person can be beat up in a movie. And if, like I said, if I go all the way back to Roots, to 12 Years a Slave, I'm sure that I can go through and edit those movies and show 50 different ways that a slave has had his ass beat on a tree, right, and actually count the lashes. And I'm sure I'd be up in the hundred thousands if I counted all the editing plus the actual scenes. But with that same technology, you could go out and you could make an intelligent black film. And people would, believe it or not, would buy it. There's a lot of whites that like black history. And they would support that. You just don't want to do it.
Flossie.
Yeah.
Hello? Flossie.
I'm here. I'm here. I can't go nowhere.
my question to you and the question I would pose to you is this. Is, okay, you're talking about how the industry could do so much because they have so much, right? But there's actually people like Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is influential, believe it or not. He has his own production company.
Okay.
The people who have come off of the movie, Think Like a Man and Think Like a Man Too. They posted today, if I'm not mistaken, that they made $100 million. Just in the first opening week, the first opening weekend of their movie, that $100 million could be put to making up movies about true history. But it's not. Why is it not? Why are we not wanting to? Why you're making great points about how the white man is not doing this and the Caucasian people aren't doing this, but what about the African-American people that are rich beyond their wildest dreams and still don't want to put out movies about their history?
I'll give you a couple reasons why Hart won't take that $100 million and make a movie like that. Number one, there's bills to pay. So even though that they made $100 million off of that, what his production company will probably end up making is only like maybe 10 or 20, which is still nothing to bat an eye at, but yet and still, you know, isn't that whole thing coming back to him. Number two, I was mentioning a little bit of this earlier. If they do that,
A lot of noise going on.
If they do that, you have two factors that you have to keep in mind. Number one, are the black people going to support that? Number two, is Hollywood going to support that? And do you know the answer to that already? Because if neither one of those, you need both of those supports. If you don't have both of those supports, then you're losing money. And it was a bad idea. As much as black history is important, as much as we need it, it all still comes down to money. That's why they're posting today or the day before that we just made $100 million off movies because the money is important. You know, they didn't post that, you know what I'm saying? Man, we have really, you know, made an accomplishment in Hollywood, you know, with another positive movie starring black people. No, they posted the money.
Okay, and so if you want me to answer that question, I'll tell you, I put it like this. It's just like having an owner and you have team members on a team. Why should the players on the team put a movie like that when the owners are the ones who have all the billions of dollars that at $100 million is just a project to them? Because you hear how much money gets put out on these movies all the time, right? And yeah, true enough, African Americans are out there that have made money and everything. But at the same time, what I'm saying is that if you have the energy to put out negative crap about us, you should have the same type of energy to tell the other side of what that is. Yeah, true enough, we could put our money together, and yeah, we could do it. And Spike Lee has done it, just like he did with Malcolm X and everything else, and putting his money out there. And I think that if you put out true movies like that, blacks would go watch it, just like Muslims supported Muhammad Messenger of God back in 1978. They put that movie out, they showed that movie, and that movie grossed $30 million in the first week. So at the same time, I think that it could happen, but at the same time, you still got to ask yourself the question is, if you've got enough energy to put out negative rhetorical shit about us, but boost up everything from gayness all the way down to whatever it is, so far as negative stuff on us, you should have to use the same energy and the same money to tell the truth about stuff. And I still say that, just like the title of this deal, it's the fear that you have of not doing it which stops you from doing it. The Lord knows you have beat our eardrums to death about the 6 years of the Jewish Holocaust, but at the same time, you don't talk about the 500 years of stuff that we've been through. So it is possible and doable. It is very possible and doable for you to do that. It's not like you don't have the money to do it. The Lord knows you're making big millions and billions of dollars off of defecating on our people. You should be able to use just a quarter of a portion of that to tell the truth. You're afraid to tell the truth. The truth, you like the good book says, you are lying. The truth ain't in you. That's why you don't do it. That's the real reason why it's not done.
And even with you saying that, Flossie, you know, in their mind, because they're not black, they're not African American, in their mind, when they put out movies like Butler and 12 Years a Slave, that's what they think they're doing, man. That's exactly what they think they're doing. Like, here goes a positive movie for black folks, right there.
But a Butler and Sandman Sam's. Why don't you just make a movie about Sandman Sam's dancing and digging for Live at the Apollo? I could respect that a lot more than us always being a slave. I mean, how many more slave movies can you make? That's like how many Hollywood producers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Yeah,
that's
true, man.
I'm just saying, man.
Yeah,
I agree with nobody, but I'm just saying, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's I don't know, man. It's just bad, man. It's just to the point, man. It's like, it's just tiring, man. It's just really bad. Hollywood just pitiful, man.
Who you really need to get on is Oprah, because she's the one who's back in movies like that.
okay?
Oh, yeah.
And starring in them, too.
So she's, look, so she's the one who's telling them, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Mm-hmm.
Well, she has to do that, Tom Cruise, she no longer has a couch for Tom Cruise to jump up and down on. So, you know, I mean, guess she's got to do what she's got to do, you know. I don't get it, man. Well, man, you know, we are running out of time, but once again, you know, we've had yet another fabulous one. We'll find some of that. Anybody got anything else that's off topic that they want to drop real quick over the next 3 or 4 seconds? I'm gonna drop mine real quick. I want to thank you fellas for coming out and once again being 100, because just to be honest with you, there are no wrong answers. I respect all your perspectives. I thank you for supporting the show and the folks out there on the line, 646-595-3402. My man Juan, my man Rawhide, my man at 111, and my man Sugar Ray. You know what I'm saying? We all thank you for coming out and supporting us. Anybody else got anything else they want to throw up there? Because Sugar Ray, you're going to take it home. With the disclaimer, anybody
really
else
want to
throw anything
up there? Really quick, I just wanted to say, man, I miss you guys. Man, I've been working my butt off lately. I'm working 2 jobs a day, you know what I'm saying, not sleeping. So when that 7-8 hour comes, 7 or 8 o'clock comes, man, I'm knee-deep in these jobs, bro. But I'm still going to try my best to start getting into these shows, but right now I'm knee-deep in working. You know what I'm saying? I needed my fix for that Flossy G show, man.
Hey, man. I'm working there in Portland, Oregon, so, you know, you are my vanguard. Yes, you had my back when the time was down a couple of months ago. So, you know, no matter what, man, you've always got a place on the show, man, and in the brothers' hearts. It's all love,
and
black love.
And big things coming up at the studio, man. Right now, we have it all broken down because we're painting, and we're going to put some new equipment in there and stuff. So, you know, man, I'm still working hard for the studio, too. Yeah, man. And Sugar Ray, just to let you know, man, I've already taken off the 15th through the 17th of August. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be a job. It's going to be the first couple of days that I have off in a row. we go parlay, sir.
That's what's up, man. Yes, indeed.
Hey, Rob, we have a music opportunity, too. You know, so we'll put you up on the score about Robin Lynn, a money-making opportunity for your music. So, you know, I'll holler at you about that one, too.
Say what?
I was going to say, I'm reading something off of that was dated, looks like yesterday, at 8:09. It was actually posted on the Eddie Griffin Facebook page. Apparently, I don't know if you guys know who Dick Gregory is.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's going to be receiving a star on the Walk of on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, okay.
Well overdue. Uh-huh. Well overdue. Yeah.
Way overdue. I'm surprised he didn't have one. Like, here, you see all these brothers in here know who Dick Gregory is. You know what I'm saying? And this is over a few different generations. You know what I'm saying?
He's going to be on Hidden Colors 3 also this weekend, man. He's going to be in it.
Who?
Dick Gregory, he's in it.
In what?
Dick, and Hidden Colors.
Oh, okay. Wow.
He's going to be in
it. And then you got to resend me the links for those, bro. Because I still haven't got a chance to watch it yet. So please send me the links for those so I can get them right on my phone.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that, man, because I'm going to tell you, brother. I do that, man. The Hidden Colors 3, I saw you can see the trailers on YouTube, man, but it got Nas in it. It got, man, this is, from what I was told, man, this is going to blow everybody away, I was told, man. It's talking about everything current, man.
Mm-hmm. Sugar Ray, we got about 40 seconds. Go on and drop that disclaimer so I make sure you
all right,
get it
guys.
In.
Yeah, man, it's been fun, man. But understand, we had this all the time, this call in. But understand the revolution, it's not an event, man. It's a process. Revolution is not an event. It's a process. So stick to it. Keep on grinding.
Oh, and you didn't hear me, Sugar Ray, but, man, forget hope, because that's what all these movies are about. They're about the black man hoping and wishing and dreaming. Forget that. No more of that. We're some doers. You know what I'm saying? People on this show, we're doers, and we prove that every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not hopeless. We're not dreamers. You know what I'm saying? We get done. You know what I mean? This is our reality, and that's how we get over those things and get rid of them. Get rid of the 12 years. Just like.
We are the anti-dumbed down generation. We're the anti-dumbed down. There will be no dumbing down. We're in the anti-dumbed down zone. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to get it 100% every time. And everybody's view is accepted and respected. And so on that,
yeah,
I'm gonna go ahead and get light up one and get blown out of here by my man Snoop Dogg and Pharrell. And I want to say God bless y'all and good night. Thanks for calling.
IBT H H.
There it is. You know, hip hop. Okay, I'll let
yes sir.
You know you want some more, girl. You know
fulfill. We can do it.
how you want, cause I'm oh so real. Telling you, nah, I won't squeal. You with the big boss dog, so seal the deal. For real, got the baby face, and dog got the whip appeal, so name the place. This love I bring to you, on the real, baby girl, won't you do me your favor and sing snow?
If I got it, I'ma give it to you. If I got it, I'ma give it to you.